One, welcome. Welcome all the visitors as well as those who regularly come. And we trust the Lord has a blessing suited for each one this morning. We want to worship Him together with the singing at this time.
Let all things now living a song of thanksgiving to God the Creator triumphantly praise. Through fashioned and made us, protected and stayed us, who still guides us on to the end of our days. God's banners are
Praise. Well, it's certainly a blessing and a privilege to gather together, to exalt the name of the Lord, and to meet with you people. I've been thinking about some things in the past week and turned to some of the scriptures that I was thinking about, not realizing I'd be using it here this morning. Thinking about the fact that, as we say sometimes, we live out of our hearts. you know, what's in there tends to, well, it doesn't just tend. It dictates, or however you say it. It just, it's how we live. And thinking about how important our thought processes are, the kinds of thoughts that go through our minds, and thinking some about the fact that change and transformation, while it is true that it is certainly done by the Lord, if it really happens, it's something that we cannot bring about. As I was talking last Sunday about about the grace of God, and so responding to the grace of God allows him to do what we cannot do. But as I think I also said last Sunday, it does have to do with us cooperating with him. And somehow that transformation does have a fair amount to do with what runs through our minds. going to look at several scriptures then that I was thinking about this week, and feel a little disorganized here, but let me just, if you'd like, turn with me to Proverbs 23. Here's one of the scriptures I was thinking about because of as a man thinks. I think sometimes we say it that way. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That isn't an exact quote from the King James, but what a person says. See, earlier I said that, you know, the things that are in our heart are the things that come out. Now, it isn't always that what a person says actually reveals what's in his heart. It reminds me of the church marquee, and some of you have seen it in town. It says a hypocrite is someone who's not himself on Sunday morning. So, you see, we can say things because it's the thing that is supposed to be said. It's the right, it's the good thing to say. But when we really speak from our hearts, then you cannot bring something out that's not in there. Now, here was somebody that in Proverbs 23, and going to be reading some of these scriptures out of the NIV, and this one I will. And let's see, I guess I'm going to start in verse 6. Do not eat the food of a stingy man. Do not crave his delicacies. For he is the kind of man who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you. Now remember, he's a stingy man, but he says eat and drink. You know, help yourself. Go ahead. But his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the little that you have eaten, and you will have wasted your compliments. I'm not sure what all is happening here, but you know, compliments probably meaning, what is the word? Flattery. You know, something you said to him to get something. Now, he says to you, eat and drink, help yourself. But that's not where his heart is. And so he was like, I guess that's the hypocrite. So it's not always what is said out of the mouth. And God, of course, is the one that knows what's in the heart. Jesus talked about how we speak out of the reservoir, out of the treasure that it's in our heart. Turn with me to Matthew 12 and verses 33 to 37. And the reason Jesus said some of these things that he did to the Pharisees, was because they were accusing him of casting out devils through Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And so here's what Jesus said to them. You see, whenever a person really speaks from his heart, he will speak what's in there. And so here it says in 12:33, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, and make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. And I think he could have been saying to him, well, look at my life. Does it say something about who I am? How could I be casting out devils by the prince of devils? And he also had said just a little bit earlier, a house divided itself cannot stand. Then he says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart the mouth speaks. It runs over. in fact, you older ones, I think I've heard you say that. Doesn't it say that in German? It's what's in the heart runs over in the mouth. But anyway, the good man brings good things out of the good stored in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored in him. So eventually, it comes out. I said you can say things that sound good, but eventually it will be revealed what's in the heart. Turn to Matthew 6, a very familiar scripture. I think I'll read that in the King James, since it is Matthew 6 and verses 19 to 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, your treasure is what is the most important thing in your life. Now, you can have treasures that are secondary treasures. You may be a collector. You may like to collect old things or something like that. But we're talking about the most basic thing. Your treasure is what is the most important thing to you. Your treasure reveals what your values are. And so it kind of works this way, that whatever your treasure is, that's where your heart will go. Where your heart goes, that's what your mind thinks, and what your mind thinks is what comes out of your mouth. Now, I said recently that we can speak out of our hurt, we can speak out of our head, or we can speak out of our heart. And I thought about Joseph as an example of that. You know, Joseph had somehow got the big picture, and he understood what was happening. And if he would have become bitter, then when his father died and his brothers came to him and said, now our father said, you know, don't repay them for the evil. And if he had been responding with bitterness, he could have responded out of the hurt that was in his heart and lashed out at them. You know, when we speak out of the hurt that is in our heart because we haven't taken care of it or allowed God to heal it, then we attack. And he could have spoken out of his head. He could have said, well, come on. We went through this before. I already told you that I'm not going to get even with you. But, you know, I think he spoke out of his heart. It says he cried. I mean, look, you did it to me for evil, but God meant it for good. And he did it to preserve life. And so I think Joseph there spoke from his heart. A couple other scriptures very quickly then. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And these have to do with the thing that I was thinking about. How are we changed? It's true that God does change us. God transforms us. But somehow we also have our part in cooperating with him. And part of that is simply the choices we make, what we fill our minds with, because we've got to train train ourselves for a new way of thinking. There in familiar verses there, beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we can think natural thoughts. We can think what naturally comes. But unless we, like someone said, unless we learn to think God's thoughts after him, you know, we really won't be transformed. And so we've got to put what's here into our hearts and into our minds. Because it says you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, by a new way of thinking. Two other scriptures. 2 Corinthians 3 talks about what we look at, beholding the glory of the Lord. Let's see, 2 Corinthians 3, and verse 14, talks about how those that had not yet understood, I'm going to say, how the new replaced the old, but their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains on the old when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. For whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and when the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory and are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So yes, we have our choices to make, but it isn't just on our part to decide, I'm going to change, and I'm going to... It's somehow where the Spirit of the Lord is, and he can give us a whole new perspective. I was thinking about the verse this morning, and then it left my mind again, but behold, all things are become new. And I think, you know, at the moment that we become, that we surrender and become believers, I think everything, sometimes in our experience, it's like the grass looks greener and the sky is bluer and all of that. I think in a moment, everything changes in terms of perspective. Now, the process then is the renewing of our mind, the changing of what's in our heart, and the Lord does that. Well, a very similar scripture about renewing in Ephesians 4 and verses 22 to 24. And this talks about putting off and putting on. So again, there's choices to be made. And again, talking about our minds thinking a different way. It reminds me of the... which some of your younger ones probably don't even know what a phonograph record is. But sometimes that record that would spin around and that needle was there, and it what it does, it moves from the outside of the disc into the inside. Sometimes the record got scratched, and as it was going around, the needle jumped, and it repeated the same thing, and repeated the same thing, and repeated the same thing, and repeated the same thing again. You know, sometimes that's the way our minds are. And we go in the same groove and we think the negative thoughts. And God wants us to get on a different track. And he wants a new grooving and thinking again and again thoughts that are upbuilding, wholesome, positive. Let's see. Ephesians 4. Did I say 2? I turned to 2. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And I've thought, what changes an attitude? And my way of saying it has been, it's the choices we make, and it's the things that we allow to run through our mind. And it forms our mental position. It forms how we look at things. And so we can have attitudes that are bitter. We can have attitudes that are the way God wants them to be. Let's kneel for prayer.
Thank you, Father, for the blessing, the privilege, the opportunity to be here. Thank you that we're two or three are gathered in your name. You're there in the midst. We just anticipate what you want to give us this morning. Pray your blessing in each part of the service, each Sunday school teacher, as they lead out. May we be, give us ears to hear, and may we participate. May we receive what you want for us today. The sharing time, the message. Bless that. To our need, we know by your Spirit, you can take the same word and bring to our minds how that applies to me. And so we thank you, and we pray your blessing in the service in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Warren. I'm so thankful that by believing in Christ, that veil is removed. And we can experience that this morning. We can grow more and more like Jesus as we allow him to change us. Okay, the teachers for the basement can be excused at this time. Preschool and primary students may follow. And juniors and intermediates. A few changes this morning. Marilyn Kipfer's class will need to disperse. She's not here. The Sunday school lesson for the adults this morning is Psalm 119, 33 to 40, and then 81 to 104. And next Sunday it will be Psalm 119, 129 to 136, 161 to 168, and then 121. Let's disperse in our classes.
Our family is in a time of transition right now. This past week, our middle son, Jaden, whom we had for 11 months, went back to his biological family, and it's been tough for me. He was the first one I called my son. And he was the first one to call me daddy. So that's been kind of a hard time. And one of the youth mentioned that they want to pray that he will eventually come to Kids Club. And we thought that was such a neat thing to pray. Amen. If you think about Jaden, just pray that he would have continued contact with Christians, and I think Kids Club would be a wonderful way. Mm-hmm. Also, this coming week, on Friday, it is planned that our youngest son, John, will be going back to his biological family. Okay. So we'll be down to one, just Scott, after that. We appreciate your love that you've given us.
I'm thankful to have another friend, two other friends with us this morning, Josh Wells and Ethan. And so we have enjoyed learning to know them, and he's recognized different ones that he's also learned to know in this past few weeks. I just praise the Lord for his goodness.
Good to have you, Josh. Let me see. Do you have a pick on the verses? Yeah. First and last. Why don't we stand? I think that'd be a good thing.
For Christ and the church, let our voices ring. Let us honor the name of our own blessed King. Let us work with a will in the strength of youth and loyally stand for the kingdom of truth. The church, let us cast aside by his conquering grace chains of self, fear, and pride. May our lives be enriched with a name so grand. Then have
welcome each one to this worship service. It's good to see you all here. I don't think maybe we're all here, and yet we've got visitors, and we welcome you. Thank you all for coming. Today's offering will be lifted for the Church General Fund here for all of the expenses that that fund folds into it. Next Sunday's offering will be Pilgrim Christian Schools. This morning, Laverne is ministering at Arlington, and we want to hold an election or help contribute to the election of an MIC board member, and we'll announce today the three that are nominated and take a vote next Sunday. John Dean Hostetler from Plain City, Ohio, Joel Gingrich from Minerva, Ohio, and Daniel Stolzfus from Slainsville, West Virginia. Crystal Kipfer, who has been away from here for some time, is back in contact. She's really turned her life around a lot, or the Lord has, and she's asking for reinstatement as a member here. Offender Victim Ministries is celebrating 40 years of ministry and especially recognizing that at their annual dinner on Monday, February 25 at 6:30 at the Whitestone Mennonite Church in Heston. We can reserve to a Wichita phone number or email, and you'll get this in your mailboxes to make your reservations if you'd like to by February the 18th. The benefit auction for Haiti two nights ago raised $22,000 in the auction and $12,000 at the supper for a total of $34,000. My father, Brother Perry Miller, faces 6 weeks of healing time in the injury that he suffered last Sunday. He has a pelvic injury, and they think about five or more fractures. And so they're saying now more clearly that he needs to keep his weight off of his right leg. He was hospitalized on Thursday, and plans are to move him tomorrow to the Mennonite Friendship Communities for physical and occupational therapies. He does welcome visits and phone calls. Here's something a little unusual. There will be a week of evangelism training and teaching in Holmes County, Ohio, sponsored by the Maranatha Church there. It'll be on May the 10th through the 19th, followed out by going into the community and spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Teachers include Jay Stolzfus, a friend of Loyal's, I understand, former Bible school friend, and Ernest Eby, and there's another one that I didn't recognize the name. The registration deadline is March the 1st, and there are brochures on the bulletin board if you've got an interest in this kind of thing. We also announced last Sunday that we'd like to have take up with you the starting time for our revivals next month. And so I think the choice is 7 o'clock versus 7:30. We realize that we'd like to have prayer meeting ahead of that, whichever one we select. Maybe there are some comments or questions that you would have before we take a raised hand vote on this decision. Don't want to pressure anybody into what you don't want. Is there any? If there's no comment, then I think we will take a show of hands for those that would prefer 7:30 and then those that would prefer 7 o'clock. How many of you would like to see 7:30? Would you raise your hands? You want to help me here? Now, how many of you would prefer 7 o'clock? Okay, it's very close. I guess we'll go right down the middle and it'll be at 7:50. No. slightly the majority is to go at 7 o'clock. So we'll plan for that for this series of meetings, and prayer meeting at 6:30. Brother David has an important announcement, too.
This announcement is with regards to Brother and Sister Owen and Wanda, and I'll just read so I say it right, or say as near right as I can. Most of you are probably, Wanda Stutzman, have not been attending worship services with us here at Center for some time now, and are planning to move to a small fellowship in Oregon. For a number of months, they have sought and followed the counsel of the minister of the receiving congregation and the overseeing bishop, and are planning to move there in the very near future. Their move is prompted by concerns about issues in the church here and the negligence of the leadership in addressing these concerns. We as leaders do not deny the validity of some of their concerns, but admittedly see them from a different perspective. We regret deeply that we have not been able to meet their expectations of a biblical church leadership. We also grieve deeply that their response has been one of isolation from this body. We believe the God-honoring response in this situation is to grant them release from their membership with us and wish them God's direction in their search for a church fellowship. We would encourage any of you to make personal contacts if you would like to this next week, and I think they plan to be loading their truck in about the middle of the week. So we still consider them our friends and want to treat them as such. Do feel free to ask questions or comments privately if you have them, and I would try to respond, or we would, as ministers, would try to respond the best we know. Thank you.
Are there any announcements that you would like to make from the floor? Yes.
For the youth tonight, we will be having a carry-in singing, and everyone here at church is welcome to come. And also, just a note that we've been struggling to find people to host it, so if you would like to do that, please contact me or Stephen or Heidi or Louise.
I think the singing is here.
Yeah.
Singing is here. Everybody's invited.
We're very grateful to the Lord that he has again provided personnel for the CASP operation. And I'll be introducing the staff couples, and then Ollie will introduce the BSers. Marcus and Lois Overhold hardly need an introduction, but they're with us again. We appreciate it. Would you please stand? I don't see where you are. You were here earlier. There you go. Thank you. Lord bless you. But we have some new people this year, and that is the Dwight Krotzers, Dwight and Katie Krotzer, and their daughter Melissa from Holmes County. Would you care to stand? They are doing a very good job in the house, and thank you for coming. Lord bless you. And I'll pass this to Ollie. Where are you?
Yes, we're glad for this group. Again, it's nice to contact with Ron Fisher and hear some good remarks. We appreciate this group again like before. We have with us, and as I would name them, would you stand, please, Daniel Otto from Belvedere, Tennessee, Cody Mast from Kimbolton, Ohio. Then we have two Yoders, a Philip Yoder from Malta, Ohio, and Lee Yoder from Auburn, Kentucky. And then we have two Millers, Jolan Miller and Ryan Miller from Newcomerstown, Ohio. And Ryan would be a nephew to our Dwight Miller here. Then from Abbeville, South Carolina, we have an Anthony Schwarzentruber and also a Tyler Schwarzentruber. And Tyler has a grandfather who lived among us, who grew up and born and raised in this area, which is Lester Knisley, which would be a brother to Elmer and that family. We appreciate their service very much. Like I said earlier, the headquarters really does too.
Yes, welcome to our community. Is there another announcement?
I just wanted to clarify one point for Eugene so that you can pray for him specifically. The bullet is, they had surgery to remove the bullet from his pelvic area, and it was too dangerous to remove it. It was too close to the artery, so they left it. And I'm not sure what the plan is, what's going to happen, but I just wanted to say this so you could pray specifically about that.
If you're thinking about doing the Kansas Mennonite Relief Cell Fellowship meals, today's the day to hand those in to me. And if you need help, please ask me after the service.
Wednesday evening, Nathan Yoder will be leading us in a discussion on the book of Hosea. Call to Know God is the title.
Call to Know God. I guess which way to spell that one. All right, any others? Okay, will the ushers come forward then to lift the offering and all of us rise for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can know you. Thank you for the blessings of fellowship. And Lord, we don't enjoy it, but help us to know how to respond to the pains of disfellowship. And pray your blessing on Owen and Wanda in their sincere search for you and for fellowship for their family. Pray that you would bless their relatives here, their parents and brother, as they suffer the pain of separation as well. Pray your grace and wisdom for them. Lord, we pray also that you would heal my father, and thank you for the care that he's receiving. I pray that you would give him good spirits and minister whatever he needs. Give us wisdom as we seek help and therapies. Father, I pray also that you would strengthen Brother David as he ministers here, Laverne at Arlington, that they could be fitting mouthpieces for you, and that your word would minister to all of us. We open our hearts, we seek your face, and we pray your will be done. With regard to the offering we lifted today for the work of the church, we pray that you would guide us, that we could use it wisely. In Jesus' name, amen.